A huge collaboration by the Associated Press, Frontline PBS, which will air this as a documentary about this project tomorrow at 9 p.m., and the Howard Centers for Investigative Journalism. They found dozens of deaths which reveal the risks of injecting sedatives into people who are being restrained by police. One of those investigative journalists is Ryan J. Foley, who joins us by phone. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
First off, thank you. What are these drugs people are injected with?
Yeah, there's a range of drugs that paramedics use to sedate people during these incidents. And two of the most common we found are a drug called midazolam, which is perhaps better known by its brand name, Versed, and then another drug called ketamine, which was used in the two cases that we looked at in Wisconsin.
It led to about 94 deaths that were highlighted in your report. And as you said, two of them took place in Wisconsin. I saw that you actually led your report with Demetrio Jackson's case out of Eau Claire. Can you share what happened in that case?
Yeah, Demetrio Jackson's tragic death is an example of what can go wrong in these incidents and how difficult it can be to pinpoint exactly what the cause of death is in these cases. So Demetrio Jackson was a person who struggled with mental health issues, who struggled with drug use, and he had taken some methamphetamine. This happened in October of 2021 in Eau Claire and Altoona, Wisconsin, in the western part of the state. And officers are called to a trespassing incident where he was outside of a radio station standing on a car at about 4 a.m. And eventually the incident escalates because he was on probation, and after they decided to arrest him, he didn't want to be arrested, so he ran. Demetrio Jackson was eventually tased twice. He was restrained face down in what's known as the prone position while officers got him into handcuffs and searched him for a few minutes. And he starts to, you know, complain at that point that he can't breathe, that he's in serious medical distress, which seemed to have started after he was, tased and restrained. Then he's sitting there, and the medics arrive, and he gets injected with 400 milligrams of ketamine as he's sitting there. And then they put him in the ambulance, and on the way to the nearby hospital, that's when he, you know, suffers cardiac arrest. And they were able to revive him, but he was essentially brain dead, and he died 2 weeks later after being in a coma.
Wow. And what was his cause of death?
So his cause of death that cited by the medical examiner in Ramsey County, Minnesota, who did his autopsy, was that he died from complications of the use of methamphetamine. And we had two, you know, outside medical examiners review his death for us. And one of them said that they both agreed that meth wasn't the whole story. They said that the police altercation and particularly the restraint likely played a role in his death. And one of them said that she believes ketamine played a role in his death, while the other said it was is a possible contributing factor.
Why did they give him ketamine? Can the police just say, you know, if you're resisting, they tried a taser, still resisting on the ground, can they just tell someone that comes with an ambulance that they need to inject them with something?
Paramedics have the final call on when to use these medications, but we did find examples where police made suggestions or requests, to paramedics to sedate specific people. In Demetrio Jackson's case, it appears to have been a little more subtle than that. So the officers start to say that they believe Demetrio Jackson had a condition called excited delirium, which is a seriously agitated state that supporters of this idea say it can lead to sudden death without medical intervention, but it's been widely discredited and disavowed by the medical community. So we hear in this case that officers saying they believe that he had excited delirium. You hear one officer saying to the medics, do you have something to speed this up? And sort of cheering when the medic comes back with the vial of ketamine and saying that he's not going to like it when he gets poked. So in some cases, it seems like the use of these sedatives has become, you know, a matter of convenience for law enforcement because they knock people out and they end the incidents, essentially. Now here, Demetrio Jackson wasn't really resisting anymore when he was injected. And we had five experts tell us that he did not meet the criteria for being injected, which is you're supposed to be, you know, an immediate danger to yourself or others if you aren't sort of immediately calmed down. And they said that what they saw in the body cam video that we provided them didn't meet that high bar.
And when you talk about racial disparities, you talk about excited delirium and how that term can play into stereotypes.
That's right. And that's one reason why it's been disavowed by the medical community, that it relied on stereotypes like superhuman strength and people that are loud and resisting the police, and that it's been disproportionately applied to African-American males since it became a concept really back in the 1980s. And we found of the 94 deaths across the country in this scenario that half of them were Black.
What ended up happening to Demetrio?
So Demetrio Jackson, he died, and there really hasn't been a lot of justice there or any sort of accountability. What happened was his death was actually initially ruled to be from natural causes, and then they later revised that and said it was an accidental death. The prosecutor in Eau Claire reviewed the findings of a state DOJ investigation and said, I don't even think this is an officer-involved death, so I don't have to review whether the force was appropriate, and therefore he also didn't have to obviously review the actions of the paramedics. So that's really all that's happened, and he's got a family in Indiana that is, you know, upset by the way he was treated and feels like his death was sort of not adequately investigated.
And what did the Eau Claire police say?
They reviewed the actions of their officers. So there was actually three different police agencies that were involved in this response. It started with two Altoona officers, and then three Eau Claire officers came as backup. And there was also the Eau Claire County Sheriff's deputies that were involved. But all three of those agencies, you know, reviewed the actions of their officers who were involved in the use of force and restraint. And they said that, you know, they acted appropriately. And the Eau Claire Fire Department, which administered the sedative, says that they just cannot talk about this because of medical privacy issues. Adam Trammell's case is an example of how the role of sedatives in these cases, in these deaths, and the use of sedatives, they often get overlooked, where the investigation, the public scrutiny focuses on what the police did and not necessarily the types of medical treatment that the paramedics provided after the use of force incident. So with Adam Trammell, his case got quite a bit of attention because he was repeatedly shocked with a taser while he was in the bathtub after officers had responded to basically a welfare check call at his apartment. And it's really disturbing video that had been made public previously, and the West Milwaukee City, I believe, settled that case. But when you watch the body cam video, there's another significant part of it, which is after he's been repeatedly tased, he's in handcuffs, he's on his sort of on his side, and they had dragged him out of his apartment. He was out in the hallway. First, he's injected with ketamine, and that appears to cause him to vomit, which is it's a side effect that we see in some of these cases. And then shortly thereafter, they inject him with a second drug, midazolam, and he, within minutes, according to the body cam, it looks like he develops breathing problems, and, you know, he died later that day.
And what was the reason why they decided to inject him with ketamine and midazolam? Was it because he was still resisting after being tased?
Yeah, I think they were trying to calm him down, which is what I think they would say he was still being combative, at least when they gave him the ketamine. But you can take a look at the video to see the circumstances around the second injection, whether he was still combative or if he was already starting to calm down at that point.
Of the 94 cases, it's interesting that you show like what some of the law enforcement or the people who are about to inject the person in the buttocks say. What are some disturbing things that you've heard?
Yeah, I was just doing an interview about a case that happened down in Florida in Orlando, and that was an example of where, and we saw this in at least three different videos across the country, where, yeah, officers and paramedics were just sort of joking about the power of these medications and saying, you know, night-night, night-night, and making some jokes about what was going to happen. And obviously they weren't expecting the person to die, but it's certainly not good optics.
And with Adam Trammell, he passed away too. Did you look into the cause of death with that?
Yes. Adam Trammell's cause of death was listed as excited delirium, which, as we discussed, is often the condition that, you know, sedatives injections are supposed to treat. And in his case, interestingly, they did sort of cite the use of sedatives as a contributing factor, because they said that a struggle with physical, electrical, and chemical restraint were significant conditions that involved in his death. So there was an acknowledgement that both the use of the taser and the use of sedatives played at least some role there.
And did you talk to Adam's family at all?
I talked to the family's attorney.
What did they think about the settlement?
You know, that case was focused more on the taser, and it was seen as a big case related to the Royal Taser poison death, and it wasn't really challenging necessarily the use of sedatives that followed.
There's a big racial disparity that you highlighted out of the 94 deaths. How many were people of color who died?
Yeah, 47 of the 94 who died were black across the country.
So what is the next step? We're going to air this on PBS at 9 p.m., but what is going on with the DOJ? Do they still stand by ketamine and other sleeping agents to be used and injected in anyone? Could be one of us.
Nationwide, the use of ketamine and other sedatives during incidents that might also involve the police, there's a reexamination happening. And part of this goes to the death of Elijah McClain in Aurora, Colorado in 2019. He was a young man who was walking home from a convenience store. He was stopped and restrained by the police, who were responding to a report of a, quote, sketchy person. And he was injected with ketamine eventually, and he died. And just Friday, the second paramedic who was convicted in his death was sentenced to 14 months in jail with work release privileges. And the first paramedic was sentenced to 5 years in prison. Those convictions in that case has EMS agencies across the country reexamining their policies on when it's appropriate to use, you know, ketamine and other sedatives, retraining people. And in general, there's been an acknowledgement that maybe in the past, some of these agencies were too quick to use sedation in these cases, and they're going to have sort of a higher bar for doing so in the future.